five of these things, about halfway. And you're not going to believe this, but this morning, this one really has three in it instead of one, but we will condense it to show forth about three of these passages. But talk about being a servant. Now, we've covered some things about being a servant. We've looked at several things of what a servant is, the importance of being a servant. And I think that it's been a blessing. It has been for me to be able to see some of this stuff and be able to look at what a servant is. And, you know, one of the things about all this stuff is, there's always an opportunity to be a servant. I mean, there's always an opportunity. People want to say, "Preacher, what can I do? What can I do?" or whatever. And I get it. A lot of times, you know, folks think it's something that you're physically doing and things like that. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just sometimes, like in church, being faithful. You know, what a blessing it is just to be faithful, and for folks to be faithful, that's a blessing to the pastor. I can tell you that. It's a blessing to the Sunday school teacher. Amen. So it's a blessing for folks just to be faithful. And so that's part of being a servant, just doing what is asked. Amen. And sometimes just being a servant is being faithful, being available. Amen. And sometimes being a servant is just like right now. You really can't go around and help folks that much, but we can certainly pray for them. Amen. And I think that's part of being a servant. And we're going to see some of that today in one of the instances of what the Bible is showing us about what a servant is. And there, I have three examples of being a servant. And this is importance of being a servant, number six. And this is titled, if you will, it's called A Servant for Others. A Servant for Others. You know, we're not saved to serve ourselves, right? Me and Jared understand that. We're not saved to serve ourselves. Amen. We're saved to serve others. Jesus was the greatest example, and that's what we're going to look at here this morning and see some examples of this thing about being the servant and servant to others. Three things about this, and we'll look at it. Three things about it, being a servant to others. A servant to others means that you strengthen others. Amen. Yeah. A servant to others means not only that you strengthen others, but also that you're spent for others. Right. And it's not only that, but the last thing that we'll look at today is just that not only is it that you strengthen and you spend yourself for others, but also there is an opportunity of saving others. Amen. And that's what we do sometimes is within our ability is that we are able to save others. We save others, not like Jesus Christ being the Savior, but we can save others a lot of heartache. Amen. We can save others from a lot of trouble and bad situations in their life if we were just to realize that we're not here to serve ourselves. So we're going to look at those three things today, and hopefully it'll be a blessing. It's good to see part of the heads here. Amen. Amen. Everybody's dealing with this thing, but I'm glad that the folks that could be here, I'm glad you're here. Amen. I really, really am. I know that we canceled Wednesday night, and I thought that was best. And that is extreme when you cancel your services. Amen. And so that's what I felt like we needed to do. But today, I hope there's no relapses. I hope everybody being able to get out and do some things, then God will bless it and God will help and God will get this stuff out of here. Amen. So this morning here in Luke chapter 22, I want to begin reading here in verse number 40. Look at verse 39, actually. Luke 22, verse 39. And we begin reading there. And the Bible says, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed." So we know this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? This is just prior to him being arrested. And so they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so he goes and he prays, and he tells the fellows there, the disciples, he tells them that they need to pray and watch, and he says there, enter not into temptation. And verse 42 says, Father, if thou be willing, this is Christ praying to God the Father, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And notice there in verse number 43, the Bible says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, and it says, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I want us to look at these verses here this morning and realize that just as a jumping off place about this thing of the importance of being a servant, is that we see that this angel here shows up. And it shows up, and this is the only time in your scripture where you read where Jesus even asked his disciples to even pray, to even watch, to even do anything as far as his physical being and his ministry here on this earth as far as their prayers, in this situation. So I don't know that Jesus wanted them to see the angel or not, but there it is. Amen. You see there in verse number 43 that the Bible says that there's an angel that came down, and it came down from heaven. But notice what the angel did. The angel was strengthening him. Amen. So when Christ was here upon this earth, the angels would come and they would strengthen him. The angels would come and they would encourage him and do those things. But I want us to look at this thing of an example of the angel that came and strengthened Jesus. I know that y'all bear with me. I know you're not angels, right? Nobody in here is an angel, right? We're not angels. We'll never be angels, right? That's not going to be our place. That's not going to be what we do. Amen. The Bible clearly tells us that we'll be like as angels when it comes to certain things, but we're not going to be angels. Amen. And so, but what was the deal about this angel? Well, the angel came down for one purpose. And that one purpose was to strengthen the Lord Jesus Christ. That one purpose was to meet him there in the garden and to strengthen him because of the journey that he had in front of him. That one purpose for that angel was that he was to come and he was to come and he was to strengthen the Lord Jesus Christ because he was facing the cross. Not only was he facing the cross, but he was facing the beating. He was facing the lies. He was facing all the things that you and I don't have to face. Amen. He was facing those things. And so Jesus knew that. And so he knew that he was not only facing that, but he was facing a separation from his Father that he never had before. He was facing sin being put upon him. You see, Christ was perfect. I think you know that. He never sinned. He never messed up. He never did anything wrong, right? And so as he was there in the garden, he knew that he was going to be faced with sin. He was going to be placed upon him. And you know something? As he prayed that thing in verse number 42, he said, if it be thy will, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So the angel shows up and strengthens him in this time. So what are these angels? If you will, turn to Hebrews chapter number 1, and let's go over here to Hebrews, and let me show you a couple of things about the angel. And maybe it'll help us to understand just a little bit. Hebrews chapter number 1. And look down here at about verse number 13. The Bible says this, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And then in verse 14, it says, are they not all, notice this, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them, and who shall be heirs of salvation? And it says there that these angels, what are they? They're ministering spirits. Now Jesus is not on the earth anymore physically, right? So the purpose of these angels now are to be ministering spirits to who? Y'all didn't read the verse, did you? Look at verse 14. Sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation. You see that? So Christ was here going through this thing and was fixing to be on the cross and was facing the sin and the separation and all that stuff. And the angel came and ministered to him, right? Well, Christ is no longer here on this earth, but aren't you glad that God didn't keep the angels away? Aren't you glad that He does still send His angels and protects us and guards us and strengthens us when we're on our journey? Amen. And see, that's the whole thing of what this is talking about, is the importance of being a servant is that our service is that we ought to be strengthening other people. And this is a good example of what this angel was doing, is that this angel came and strengthened Christ because of the journey ahead of him. Well, you know, angels come to you and I because God knows the journeys that you and I have in front of us. Amen. And you say, well, you know, how do I know an angel? Sometimes you don't know an angel's coming. Amen. Sometimes you don't know that. Sometimes the Bible teaches that. Well, look in chapter 13. Look here in Hebrews chapter 13. Go over to the last chapter over there in Hebrews chapter 13. And notice there in Hebrews 13 and look in verse number 2. Hebrews 13, 2. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You see that thing? So you're not going to know sometimes whether it's an angel or a person. Amen. So we have to be careful of those things about how that we ought to love one another and how that we ought to protect each other and how that we ought to strengthen each other. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes, God won't use an angel, but can I tell you this? Sometimes God may just want to use you. God just may want to use us to be that strength. Amen. To be the one to help somebody else, to strengthen and encourage somebody else. You know, and that's what Paul told Timothy over there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Didn't he tell him over there that he was supposed to preach the word? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine, amen. So that's what we ought to do sometimes, even as a child of God. We ought to strengthen others. We ought to do those things, amen. And we ought to try to help each other in time of need, and also not in just in time of need, but also just when folks need some encouragement, amen. Because you know what? They may be facing something that you don't know anything about. Amen. So the important thing is just being obedient to the Lord, to listen to what God will tell us to do, to be able to help someone else. Amen. I mean, if the Lord puts it on your heart to send a text to somebody, send a text to them. Just, I mean, you know, what does it take? 2 seconds? 2, 3, 5 minutes at the most? I mean, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes to just send a text? Used to, you'd have to call. You know, whenever you had landlines and all that stuff. But nowadays, God's made it very easy for us just to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Amen. Amen. I mean, how easy is that? And so we ought to be able to do things like that. Sometimes, you know, you're not an angel. I mean, don't take that wrong, but you're not an angel, right? But you can do the work of an angel. Amen. You can strengthen some folks, right? And I'm thankful that the Lord didn't just pull the angels out whenever He pulled His Son out. Since Jesus has gone to the Father, you know what? The angels come and strengthen us now. Amen. Strengthen His church. Strengthen His people. And we ought to take an example from this right here, showing us that we can do some of the same thing. Amen. Understand that when the angel showed up, it wasn't about the angel. Right? It wasn't about the angel. You know, the Bible speaks about angels, and we're not going to really get into the study or theology and all that stuff of angels. But the thing of it is, with the angels, I only know of two in the Bible that has a name, that God allowed the name to be put in the Bible, and that's Michael and Gabriel. Now, you know, some of the other writings will put other names in there, but your King James Bible only has two. And that's the only two that we know of that He gives names to. Do they have names? I'm sure they do. But you know, that tells me that there's millions of angels. And I know that. But you understand that, see, it's not about the angels. It's not about the angels. It's that God didn't tell us, you know, that we're supposed to worship Michael, or we're supposed to worship Gabriel, or we're supposed to worship any of those things. Matter of fact, he says we don't do any of those things. Amen. And so what I'm trying to say is when the angel came to strengthen the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what the angel came to do. It was about strengthening the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't about the angel. Amen. It wasn't about any of that. So the first thing is importance of being that servant is being that servant for others is that we ought to be that servant that'll strengthen others. Amen. That'll strengthen others, just like we see in the passage. I'll give you a second one this morning. It's not only that the angel came and strengthened the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we should be able to do that and strengthening others. But we also find that we should also spend ourselves for others. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll find another instance here about being the servant that we ought to be. You know, really and truly, all this is about being selfless. Amen. It's about being selfless. Amen. Less of self. Amen. Amen. But the problem with that, the generation we're living in, is this is a selfie generation. And God's never changed about that kind of stuff. And he says, look, there is no other God besides me. and he's a jealous God, and he's not going to share his holiness with anything or anybody. He's not going to do that. So if I were to come in here and I try to lift myself up above, the Bible or up above the things God says do, God's not going to bless that. That's the reason why that most of these big names in the world and big names in the religious realm and all that stuff, that's the reason why they have to have gimmicks for people to come to church. Because God ain't in it. Amen. See, it's not God, it's a gimmick. Right? So that's the reason why they got to have the big video boards and stuff up there. Why? Because people are used to sitting at home and watching wall-to-wall TV, so they come to church and they come to see wall-to-wall TV. They feel more comfortable. It's a gimmick. You can just, hey, just come on here. We'll have our coffee shop. We'll have the preacher on the big screen, amen. And just make you feel it comfortable and you don't have to, you know, just bring your lattes into the church and just have a good old time and just relax. Amen. Before you know it, we're going to have custom pews put in with recliner kickers on them. Amen. And just kick back and just have a good old day, right? It's a gimmick. And they're telling you that it's about God, but it ain't about God. It ain't about this God. Amen. It ain't about our God. If you can go to church and not have conviction, that's not church. If you can go to a church and not be convicted of a life that you live, that's not church. That's not God's church. Amen. How can you do that? How many of you say that the Bible teaches us that the world is the enemy against God? Right? So how many of us can go a 40 hour week on the job, 52 or 7 days of the week, and not do something wrong? Is anybody in here can do that? Well, then why do we think that we could come into a church and everything just be hunky-dory and everything be okay? When this book right here teaches, it's totally against the things of the world, and we're out in the world more than we are with God. So how can you justify coming into a church and just making people feel comfortable? You can't do it. You can't do it according to the Word of God. Oh, well, they've had, this is what Joel Osteen says. He says, all the people's just having a hard time anyway. And he's not up here to just make people feel bad. They want them to really just have a good time. Show me in the scriptures where my preaching is supposed to comfort you in the sense of make you feel good about yourself. Nowhere. He's not preaching out of the same, or let me rephrase that. He's not talking out of the same Bible I'm preaching out of, amen. 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 That's for you people here.
Amen.
And the ones watching.
Amen. So.
So this thing of being a servant, strengthening others, but here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we need, in this service, we need to be spent for others as well. Chapter 12, look at this thing in verse number 15. Notice what Paul says here. He says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." He says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So what do you see here? What I'm saying here is that Paul says there that he's very glad to be spent for the church. Amen. He's very glad to put himself out for the cause of the church. Amen. Now, let me ask you, wives and husbands and stuff. Don't y'all do things a little extra for your husband or your wife? You should. Amen. And why do you do that? Because what? Because you love them, right? Well, don't we do things for folks that we love? Don't we do things for situations that we love that is just not, you know, not what we would do for someone else? I mean, don't we go a little extra mile for our kids or for our husband or for our wife? And why do we do it? It's because we love them, right? And so we'll spend ourselves in time. We'll spend ourselves in efforts. We'll spend ourselves in thought. We'll spend ourselves in prayer, right? Why? Because, as Paul said, because, man, I'm glad to spend and be spent for you. And you know something, Will, to think about that for each other, even at the church. Amen. Not only just at the church, but also for each other, for our Savior. Amen. Right? I think we ought to think about those things. We ought to think about those things. Paul says, I'm glad. I'm glad to be spent for you. I'd be glad to do those things, right? Be glad to do those things. And, you know, here's what Paul is looking at, but the thing of it is I don't see anywhere in here where Paul was getting any kind of pay for what he was doing either. I see in here that he said there, I'm glad to do it. Amen. I'm glad to do it. So he says there, he spoke very clearly about being spent for others. And boy, if we could take that as an example today. Let me show you a good example that the Bible gives us. Look in Luke again, Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Is this making sense? Is this helping a little bit? This is a very familiar passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and look at this thing in about verse number 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So you got a priest and you got a Levite that came by and saw this man that just got robbed and beat and all that stuff, left him half dead. And so they just, you know, didn't want anything to do with it. So they just went ahead and passed on the other side. So verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I notice as we look at this thing, as we keep in mind the thought that Paul says, man, I will very gladly be spent for you. Well, here's the story of the Good Samaritan. Here's the story of where the Samaritan, he didn't know who this guy was. Had no clue who that guy was. But what did he do? Man, he come along and, man, he saw the guy had a need. He saw the guy was in trouble. And so what did he do? It says right there in verse number 33 that he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he had compassion on him. But notice it doesn't stop there. You can have compassion on people, but that don't mean you're going to do anything. Amen. So what did he do? Well, look in verse 34. The Bible says that he went to him and he bound up his wounds. He pouring in oil, the Bible says, and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So what did he do? Man, he spent himself for this guy. He was a complete stranger. He didn't know who this guy was. And you know something, there's people all over our country that, man, if we could just spend just a little bit of time in prayer, you know, if we could just lift them up in prayer. There's folks that maybe you've never met before. Maybe there's folks that you've heard about that just need some prayer. And that's the reason why we do have our church here talks about their loved ones. And there's some folks that you have that are loved ones that I have never met. But you've said, hey, can you remember so-and-so? Can you remember? And what is that? Man, it's just having a little bit of compassion and having some time to be able to spend in prayer. Amen. We'll spend money on what we want. Right? We'll for sure take care of ourselves. Right? If you're hungry, you'll stop and get some chips or something, won't you? Right? And a Coke, yeah. That's $5. I mean, you know, that's just the way it works. I guess what I'm trying to do is help us to think to, you know, how easy it is for us to spend on ourselves. But when can we spend, not necessarily $5, but what if we could spend just 2 minutes on prayer? What if we could just spend just a couple of minutes and, Lord, just help Brother Drew or help Brother Stephen. Lord, you know he needs help. Amen. I mean, just when's the last time we really just spent ourselves to try to help someone else? Amen. And sometimes God's not saying just to put you out or nothing like that. He's just saying, when's the last time? So this guy, he what did he do? He saw him over there, and the Bible says in verse 34, he went to him. He didn't go the other way like the priest and the Levite did. He went to him. And not only that, he started cleaning his wounds and binding him up and bandaging him up. And he poured the oil and the wine in there to try to keep the infection away. And then it says there he set him on his own beast. You know, he didn't just go over there and wrap him up and say, hey, well, maybe somebody come along here in a little bit. No, he picked him up and put him on his own beast and carried him over there to the inn. And it says right there that he took care of him. But look in verse 35, he didn't just do those physical things, but he says that on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. What a thing. So what is that? That's just like Paul saying, look, I will very gladly be spent for you. I'll very gladly do these things. Why? Because he said he loved them. Amen. He said, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So he says, I love you. That's why I'm doing this. You know what Christ died for us? Do you realize that he was spent for us? Do you realize what he spent? Amen. Just like whenever the Samaritan here saw the guy that got beat over there, just like when he saw him, he said, the Bible says, he went to him. You know what Jesus did when he saw you? He came to us, amen. And he didn't just come to us and just wipe up our wounds and try to get the infection away. You know what he did? He picked us up and he carried us over here and said, Holy Ghost, keep them till I come back, amen. Isn't that what he did? I mean, we're sealed until the day of redemption, right? And that's exactly what he did. He said, you take care of him. And he said, if there's anything else, he said, I'll come pay it. But we know that what Christ did for us, it's paid for, amen. It's a done deal. So the importance of being a servant, serving others, means that we should be strengthening others. It means also that we should be spent for others. Amen. We ought to be spent for others. And then lastly, as I look at this thing, I want to go to a couple of places. If you'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and then I'm going to go to the book of Jude. But 1 Timothy chapter number 1, is everybody okay? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll give you this last installment of this number 6 message. Amen. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, notice this. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says this, of whom I am chief. Paul says, I am chief of sinners. Amen. So we understand that Jesus didn't come here for himself. He didn't come here to set up an earthly kingdom. He didn't come here to find a bride as far as physically finding a wife, like some of them say that he married Mary Magdalene and they had kids and he lived happily ever after. Y'all ever heard that story? I've heard that story. That's the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. But all that is the devil. And so what we find here is he came to fulfill the will of the Father. Amen. He came to do what God asked for him to do. And of course, he came and gave his life and he saved sinners such as we are. So Jesus gave himself for us, of course, and not for himself. And so the example that we have here, of course, Jesus came to die and shed his blood. You and I, we can't shed our blood to save people. But we can save people of a few things, right? I mean, we can save people. We can save them from trouble. Amen. We can save them from some heartache if they would just listen, you know, if they would just. And so there's a couple of things here that I just want us to look at. I want us to understand something that as it looks. And I'm going to read this to you. You can turn there if you want to. Jude. There's only one chapter, but Jude chapter 1, verse 23. Here's what Jude says. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So what is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that here's this church right here. This church established as a gift to the saved people and a gift to the bride. This church is not here for lost people, okay? You have to understand that. This church is here for saved people. Now, lost people come in, hear the gospel. Man, that's a blessing. It's a plus. They get saved. Man, that's a goal. Amen. And for them to be saved. But the deal of it is this church is here to strengthen the saved people. The church is here to strengthen you in your walk with God. The church is here to strengthen you in your ability to serve God and do some things for the Lord. But when we go outside those doors there, you know what we're to do? We're to be a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world. You see, we can't save people from hell. We can't die for them and take their place. We can't do that. Christ has already done that. But you know what? We can lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can lead them to a place of salvation to where they can see Christ, where they can trust Christ as their Savior. And that's what we're supposed to do as a servant. Amen. Is that we would come and we would not only strengthen others, not only be spent for others, but we can also save others in that fashion. Amen. Not that we're saving them from hell. And like I said, I can't illustrate that enough, but we can save them from the trouble. Amen. We can save them in the sense of showing them a better way. Amen. Showing them that what you're doing ain't working. Amen. Amen. I mean, isn't it amazing how people, y'all know what the definition of insanity is, right? Amen. I mean, you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Amen. It just doesn't happen. People say, well, I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to do better this time. Oh, I got it this time. Right? No, it's not going to work. None of us can do that. So what is our purpose as a child of God? Our purpose is that we can go and be that witness and a testimony saying, hey, this ain't working. This ain't working. So what do you do? Well, you show them the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like he says here in Jude, he says, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, pulling them out of the fire of trouble, pulling them out of the fire of indignation, pulling them out of the fire of the wrath of God. Amen. Pulling them out of those situations and saying, hey, look, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. Some of you have some, stories to tell in your life. Some of you have some stories to tell other people to say, hey, look, you don't want to do this. Right? And so why would you do that? Because you're trying to save them from the trouble. Amen. I mean, you know, some of you, you've been through some things and you could just say, hey, look, I know how this is going to turn out. I know how this is going to be an issue. Why? Because, man, it doesn't change. It's just a different time, a different place, and a different person. But the results are always the same. Amen. Sin looks pretty for a little bit. Amen. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end of the thing is always trouble. The end of the thing is always turmoil, and always it is devastating. Always. Amen. The Bible calls it the end is death. What's it say in Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, right? Wages? Thank God. I'm not living a Christian life for wages. Amen. My payment for living a good life is not salvation. Amen. I'm not doing this stuff for a wage. You go to a job somewhere for a wage, but this is a life right here. This is a daily living process. The wages, the payment for sin is death. And that's what the Bible teaches. So you know what it's our job to do? It's our job to go and try to tell people, look, it ain't worth the payment. It ain't worth the wages. To go and live that kind of life, it's just not worth it. For just a night of pleasure? For just 1 hour? I mean, the drug addict took his first pill. Right? I mean, the dope head took his first smoke, right? The drunkard took his first drink. And you know what? Somewhere down the line, that voice came in there and says, man, this is good. I don't know why people don't want to do this. And man, I'm going to tell you this. And man, I can handle it. Oh, but you better. No, I can handle it. I've had them tell me not too long ago that they can handle it. And they couldn't. They couldn't. I've seen it. And folks, I'm just saying, it's our duty to go and try to save people from the trouble. Save people, save our families. You know why we have church and try to have Sunday school for these little kids? It's to save them from going to where me and you once were. Amen. To keep them away from the trouble that you and I have been in. Amen. It's to try to teach them the right way. Amen. The right way. And be able to show them what God has done for us. And you know what happens when we do that? If you look there in chapter 1, look in verse number 18. We'll try to close, but he says in verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went out before thee on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare. And notice this, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to save them from shipwreck. Amen. I'm trying to help you, save you from a shipwreck. Amen. Trying to save others, co-workers, trying to save friends, and trying to save relatives from shipwreck. From a shipwreck. I can't save you out of hell, but I can bring you to the one that can. Amen. I can't keep people out of hell, and I can't take people into heaven in that sense. But I can lead them to the one who can. I can save them from the trouble of going through what I've been through. Amen. I can save them from the trouble from experiences that I've had and things that I've seen. Jesus came to save sinners. It wasn't about himself. That servant, importance of being a servant. What is it? Well, to strengthen others. Amen. To strengthen others. But not only just to strengthen others, but also to spend ourselves for others. And once we spend ourselves for others, then we can be that servant that we can save others. Amen. We can save others. And I think that those are some good things that we could put on our list. Amen. Maybe if you took those things, just these three, not all 10 messages. Okay? But maybe just these three. Strengthen others, spent for others, and save others. What if you put that on your refrigerator and you looked at that every day and then you asked the Lord, how am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Am I really, Lord, is it about me, or am I living my life to try to help someone else? That's some good thoughts, I think. That's some good thoughts, I think, that we should maybe consider some of the things. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ came looking for you? He came looking for us instead of Him coming to please Himself. Amen. What a thing that is. What a thing that is. Serving. Strengthening. Being spent. And then saving to others, trying to be a blessing to others. Amen. What do they say, the word joy, what does that stand for? Jesus, others, and then yourself. Amen. We know the Lord Jesus has always got to be first, but it's not ourselves second. Amen. It's others. Others. And that's the way we ought to. That's the way we ought to live. That's the way we ought to do. I'll ask Miss Darlene if she'll come to the piano this morning, and just for us, just to.